We want to be a church where freedom reigns. We want to be a people full of grace. We want to be a shelter where the broken find their place. We want to be a refuge for the weak. We want to be a light for the world to see. We want to be a love that breaks the walls and fills the streets. And all I wear, shines a beacon in the night. We want to see the city filled with hope. We want to bring peace to the troubled soul. We want to tell the story of a God that we can know. All are welcome and all are welcome as we are, as we are. For our God is near every hour. Let your mercy rise. Your mercy rise, lay your hope resound, lay your love in our hearts be found. Lay your grace run free, let your name bring peace, heaven come in the here and now. So let justice flow, so let justice flow like a river of wine, and let mercy grow like a my dear friend and one of our kids church pastors to come up and lead us in this moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. Let God write a story through me. Yeah, Satan wants to spell check, but God erased the lies, the justice not being complete. Yeah, and on that note, I went and I wrote this verse. I've been weeping all week, man, I know what hurts, yeah. I'm tired of seeing my people in a hearse, yeah. I gotta seek God's strength, I know it works, yeah. I gotta pray more, man, it's more than words, yeah. God loves me, I know what I'm worth, yeah. I'm mad at cause of what you did up on the cross. I'm mad at cause you seek the one sheep that's lost. Yeah, so like a good neighbor, let my God be there. Yeah, like a good neighbor, let me show that I care. Yeah, like a good neighbor, let me love. Yeah, like the Lord above. Yeah, there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. In times like this, it's hard to understand. Just know that God still has you in his hand. Yes, he's still good, and he still has good plans. In times like this, yeah, we gotta rise. Yeah. The mercy rise.
Yeah, yeah. Let your mercy rise. Let your hope resound. Let your love. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Again, again, again. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you,
Lord. I worship you.
My father's world, the battle is not done.
I wanna know you more. I wanna love you more. I wanna hunger more for you. I wanna know you more. I wanna love you more. I wanna hunger more for you. Even in the valley. The shadow of death, you remain the same, you will never change. And even when the battle rages, you're right next to me, you will never leave, you're the rain again, again. And even in the valley of the shadow,
welcome everyone. My name is Ralph. I'm so glad you joined us for worship today, and I want to extend a special welcome to any of you who are new or visiting. If you'd like more information about our church, you can go to cachurch.com or to our mobile app. And if you would like a personal welcome from one of our pastors, fill out an online connection card. Are you in a life group? Life groups are small groups of people that gather in homes, coffee shops, and online where you can share the highs and lows of your life, study God's word together, and pray for one another. Go online to see available groups or to join a new 8-week life group that starts soon. Our fall season of Thrive Growth classes is just around the corner. We have 3 online classes for you: Boundaries, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and Changes That Heal. Go online for more information or to register for these 6 to 8 week classes. As You Go is a 4-week seminar focusing on the joy and power of conversational evangelism. We can often feel intimidated by evangelism, but this seminar will show how restful and casual it can be. Join in on Thursday nights in October. We want to encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. And thank you again for your ongoing generosity. Before turning to our message, will you join me as I pray? Father, thank you for your faithfulness and generosity towards us. Would you continue to give us this day our daily bread? We also ask for opportunities and help to share our faith with others. And would you continue to bless CA with newcomers? Would you bless those who have tuned in today? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy today's message.
Hey, welcome everybody, to any visitors or guests. What a privilege to have you with us. And of course, to my beloved CA family, I'm so grateful for you. I've been praying for you all and for our time together, and I'm excited about what God's going to continue to speak to us. Well, last week, we started a brand new 4-week series on winning the war in our minds. Now, why did we do that? Because God's word tells us, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. We get that in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Well, growing up as a kid, we used to play a game, it's still played today, called Two Truths and a Lie. You've probably heard of it. So just to get us going, see if you can spot the lie from amongst these three statements. Here they are. Number one, coffee is made from beans. Statement number two, you're looking for the lie. You only use 10% of your brain. Statement number three, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Okay, so you got your choice. It's either coffee's made from beans, you use only 10% of your brain, or 50% of marriages end in divorce. Which one of those is your choice for the lie? Can you spot it? Well, actually, all of them are lies. Coffee is made from a seed, not a bean. We just call them coffee beans. Brain imaging scans show that we use most of our brain at different times all day long. And no, 50% of marriages do not end in divorce. That often quoted stat came from a study a long time ago, just one study with really bad data, including a statistical miscalculation on the interpretation. So sociologists don't believe that anymore. But it's one of those things that gets repeated over and over and over. So people tend to think it's true when it's actually not true. In fact, the most recent studies show that divorce rates currently in the United States are at a 50-year low. Well, last week, we learned what we called the replacement principle, that to win the battle, to win the war in your mind, you need to remove the lie and replace it with God's truth. This week, we're going to jump into the second of four principles that will help us win the battle in our minds with God's help. And we're going to consider it, but before we do, let's pray. God, it is so easy for us under the right conditions to be deceived, to believe a lie. And we need your help to win the battle in our minds, that we would replace lies with your truth, and that your truth, as we continue in it, as we live in it, would actually renew our minds. So God, we pray right now for our minds. As we come to your word, would you cleanse and renew our mind with your truth, defeating any lie that we believe, so that we can live the lives that you have for us with joy and goodness and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week we're going to learn the second of the four principles, and it is called the rewire principle. Rewire your brain, renew your mind. God's design for our transformation requires renewing our mind. Changing the way you think changes your perspective on the world around you, which then changes the way that you act. In fact, Romans chapter 11, verse 36 and onward says it this way: "For from the Lord and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Therefore, meaning because of everything that we just read, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now here it is. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. And here's the phrase, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Sometimes in a specific area of our life, we need to renew our minds. We can get stuck in a mental rut. Think of it this way. In Alaska, it's been said that there's only two seasons. There's winter and July, right? So when the weather gets warm in July, the snow melts and the roads all get muddy. and the trucks and cars drive in them, and it begins to create these kind of long ruts. In fact, there was a sign along one Alaskan road that read, "Choose your rut carefully, you'll be in it for the next 60 miles. In fact, if you've ever driven on a dirt road with deep ruts, then you know that if the ruts are deep enough, you can put your tires in them, and it will almost be like you have autonomous driving in your truck as the ruts steer your wheels down the road. We all know what it can feel like to be stuck in a rut. You think the same thoughts, you feel the same feelings, you do the same things, you experience the same outcomes. Now, these ruts in our minds, they're what are actually called neural pathways. They were created by God to be a really, really good thing if they lead to good outcomes. They help us in life so many times. For example, when you first learn to drive, you're completely unsure of yourself. I know this because I've been teaching my teenage son recently how to drive. So he might hit the gas too easy or slam on the brakes too hard. Or if you're first learning to drive, you turn the wheel the wrong way when you're driving in reverse and you're trying to figure out the spatial reasoning. But with repetition, what happens in your brain is new neural pathways are created that make it easier to do. So that's helpful neural pathways. But because of sin and deception in the fallen world that we live in, the problem becomes when the rut is based on a lie that we believe that leads to outcomes that we know don't result in us loving God or loving other people. For example, let's say you feel sad, so you try to eat away your sad feelings with a Snickers bar, right? And it tastes good, and so you feel calm for a few minutes, you feel at peace for a few moments, and that builds a pathway in your brain. But if you keep traveling down that pathway every time you feel sad, we all know that over time, your physical health will deteriorate. Or let's say you had a bad day. You have a bad day, so you go shopping and you spend too much money on your shopping spree. Now, initially, it'll feel good. You'll be excited about the stuff that you bought. But in the long run, if that is your pathway, it will create a problem for you, right? If you keep doing it, you'll end up in overwhelming debt, which will lead you to even a lot more bad days in the future, right? Or maybe you have a rut in how you handle conflict. So you always get into the same arguments with the same people, reacting the same way, resulting in the same outcomes, even though you wish you would respond differently. The conflict starts. The tires drop in, you let go of the steering wheel, and you travel down the rut. That rut that tells you that everyone's against me rut. You know, we can have negative ruts over a lot of things in our life. We can have a rut that is the gossip rut, or the lust rut, or the anger rut, or the worry rut, or stressed out rut, or the greed rut, believe the worst about people rut, and the list could go on. If you find yourself stuck in an unhealthy rut, there's some good news. God has given us a way out. As Romans just told us, we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. At its core, that's really what faith is. Choosing to see you, your life, and others, and the world around you, the way God sees them. That word translated renew, it also means to renovate or regenerate. Now, we can think of this language of renewing our mind just as some type of metaphor, but it turns out that it's not a metaphor. In fact, what's fascinating is that yet again, modern science is confirming what Scripture has taught for thousands of years. Scientists used to believe that the brain was like a machine with a structure that was hardwired and could not change and could not really adapt. However, that's proven not to be true. Instead, the latest research shows that the brain is actually able to grow and change based on experiences and thoughts. It's a new field, relatively new, that's called neuroplasticity. Neuro means brain, plastic means changeable. So it turns out that you can, in fact, teach an old dog new tricks. New thoughts and skills actually build new pathways in your brain. Now, at first, it's hard. It requires a lot of energy, like learning to drive. It requires a lot of focus when you first learn to drive. But then repetition and practice strengthen the pathways. And that repetition and practice eventually makes it easier to do. And the old pathways that are used less and less are actually weakened in your brain over time. The neurobiologist Dr. Carol Leaf, puts it this way. As we think, we change the physical nature of our brain. So as we consciously direct our thinking, we can wire out unhelpful patterns of thinking and replace them with helpful thoughts. So with repeated and direct focus towards a desired change, we all have the God-given ability to literally, physically renew our minds. It's what has been called digging a trench of truth. Now, on a practical level, how do we dig a trench of truth in our minds to replace the old ruts that we know so well, but we also know where they lead, and we know they're not going to lead us to the life and peace that God has for us? Well, the first way is this. You need to intentionally craft true statements that counter your bad rut. Romans 8 says it this way, beginning in verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You get to choose what governs your mind. And so do I. To dig a trench of truth is to counter a bad rut. To do that, you need to craft a true statement. Sometimes it's an actual phrase from the Bible that you might memorize. Other times it might be a truth derived from the Bible. Let me give you a few examples from my own life to show you how this works. When I'm tempted to skip my time with God in the morning due to all the demands that are on me, all the meetings that I have, all the work that I need to do, here's one of the statements that I've crafted a long time ago that I tell myself when I'm tempted to skip my time with God in the morning. This is what I say. I say to myself, my best days always begin with God. I just have that little phrase and I say it. Or when I find someone frustrating, I mean, who hasn't found somebody frustrating? Here's what I say. God loves me even at my worst, so I can love them now with his help. I kind of chuckle because I don't actually say that out loud when I'm in the presence of the frustrating person, but I think it. I think, you know, God loves me even at my worst, so I can love them right now with God's help. Or I don't always feel like exercising. I know some people, they're like, I love to exercise. I love to go running. It's my favorite thing to do, you know, and God bless you, but God, I'm not that way. And so sometimes I enjoy it, but sometimes I just don't feel like it. And this is what I think and I say in those moments. God's given me one body and I can't delegate it to anybody else to exercise it for me. Or when I feel overwhelmed by my schedule, one of my statements I've written is this: I have all the time I need to do all the things that God has asked of me. Or when I have those moments when I feel like evil is winning, I just say this little phrase, maybe for a moment, but not forever. I just say, maybe for a moment, evil will triumph, but not forever. Because the long trajectory of things is God's goodness will win out. When I feel lonely, I just say this little phrase, every day, everywhere, which is just kind of my little shorthand way to remind myself that God has promised to never leave me or forsake me. Now, you probably know some of your bad ruts. And so now you need to craft your statement to counter that rut. Make it something that when you're tempted to drop the wheels into the rut, you have kind of an off-ramp. You have kind of an exit ramp into a new way of thinking. The second thing that we see to help us kind of renew our mind is this, is make half of the statements you craft defensive and half of the statements offensive. Here's what I mean. The examples of the statements that I just gave you were mostly defensive examples. They're how I defend my thinking from sliding into my old negative, woe is me ruts that I can fall into. But to win any battle or to win any sport, you need to not only play defense, but you also need to play offense, right? So some of my statements of truth are not responding to something challenging. They're creating something positive in my thinking, something hopeful in my thinking before I even begin the day. So here's what I mean. Years ago, I studied Jesus's words in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 16. It's kind of a famous passage about the vine and the branches. And I boiled down that whole section of scripture to these statements based on Jesus's promises in that passage. Here's the statement. Today, as I abide in Christ, I will bear fruit, more fruit, lasting fruit, and experience personal joy. Fruit, more fruit, lasting fruit, and personal joy. Expecting your life to be about that is a good way to start the day, especially when you know you're not just trying to pump yourself up or play mind games, but you're reciting the promises of Jesus as you abide in his word and abide in his love. Here are a few others that I use, and all of these are based on scripture, derived from scripture. One of the ones that I say is, today, God is my helper and my prayers matter. Another one that I say is, my family is a gift and a joy. Another one is, today, someone's life will be better because I follow Jesus. Another one I say is, goodness and mercy are going to follow me today. One of the newest ones came from an older woman in the life of our church, and she's married to her husband, and he had been diagnosed with some serious health issues. And this happened a number of months ago, and I prepared myself for what I just anticipated to be a sad conversation. And of course, you know, part of it was. But we spoke for maybe about 20 to 30 minutes on the phone call, and we prayed together. But what happened was that most of that call was the joy of Christ coming through this woman, through the phone, to me, from her, in our conversation. She shared that how the health challenges had kept them from being in person with us at that point in time, that how much they love the online church, how they haven't missed a week online. She spoke about how grateful she is for technology. I mean, she's in her late 80s. She's like, I'm so grateful for technology that allows us to continue to be part of our church despite these challenges. She's told me how much she's loved the digital discipleships that we've done online, talked about how great it is to see so many young leaders. And when the topic turned to her husband's health, she said this phrase, Tom, it's truly a glorious hope we have, isn't it? And something about the call and the situation made those words stick in my mind. So now one of the positive statements that I have that I use is this, Tom, it's truly a glorious hope we have, isn't it? And when I remember that, it causes me to do what Scripture says in Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. The third thing we see that's going to help us renew our mind is just this, that when you have your statements, you need to write it, think it, say it, and sing it. Write it, think it, say it, sing it. Once you have them, you just need to keep them in front of you. In other words, you keep putting them into your mind repeatedly, over and over and over again. To choose to intentionally direct your thoughts to God's good works is something that the Bible repeatedly tells us to do. In fact, Psalm 77:12 says it this way, I consider all your works and I meditate. Meaning I think about, I write, I sing, I contemplate, I meditate on all your mighty deeds. See, to meditate, it means to simply intentionally place something in your mind and to think about it repeatedly. When I was younger, I thought the key to being in decent physical shape was the gym. So, you know, I'd go for runs, I'd play some sports, I'd go to the gym, I'd lift some weights, and that did some good. But eventually, someone told me this little truth. They said, Tom, you'll never outrun a bad diet. In other words, what goes into your body has to be healthy. Tom, you can't eat ice cream all day long and go, you know, curl 10 pounds 10 times and think that you're healthy. It's the same thing with our minds. What we put into our minds comes out in our lives. In some ways, we people are funny that way, right? I mean, for example, we make certain that we put the right kind of fuel in our cars. Right? We don't just let anyone or anything go into the gas tank of our cars because we know that would do damage to the inner workings of the car. And you do that long enough and eventually your car will not drive. Or it's almost funny, right? If you have a pet, people make certain that they give their pets the exact right kind of food. But then we don't always apply the same care to our minds. Crafting your statements of God's truth is your way of putting the right fuel into your mental tank. And once we craft our statements of truth, we then need to commit to keep them in front of us, to repeatedly write it and think it and say it and sing it. In fact, that's exactly what we're doing. We are reinforcing the neural pathway in our mind, the trench of truth, focusing on and meditating on God's truth. Now, admittedly, when you first start doing this, it's going to feel strange and it will feel awkward. But that's always true when you're renewing your mind. It always feels awkward at first. That was true when you're learning to drive too, right? You start out and it's awkward, but you do it long enough and it begins to feel normal. I literally will write out the statements. And sometimes I write out the same ones each day. Sometimes they're different ones. And I say them as I write them in my journal. Sometimes I turn them into a song I sing in my car. Whatever I can do to force my mind to be renewed with God's truth. And here's the thing, when it feels awkward, you're going to be tempted to stop, but don't stop, just push through it. For example, you know, I'm right-handed, so I've been throwing a football right-handed for years, but the other day I decided just as a joke to throw the football left-handed with my son, and initially it was awkward. I had to think about every mechanic in my body, but as we stood there, even in those brief moments over time, I got a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better because my mind understood the new pathway to be able to throw the ball with my opposite hand. You know, each time you meditate on God's word, you are literally renovating your mind, creating new and stronger neural pathways that align with God's truth and God's design. So how do we win the war in our minds with God's help? Well, principle number one, we talked about it last week, the replacement principle. Remove the lies and replace it with God's truth. Principle number two, the rewire principle. Rewire your brain, renew your mind. I want to encourage you, that we have a critical role to play. We must do our part in this, but be encouraged because you're not on your own. God will help you as you seek him. In fact, it's interesting to me that the Greek word translated renewal in this Romans passage that we read when speaking of the renewing of our minds is only used one other place in the New Testament. And the one other place it's used, it actually refers to what the Holy Spirit does for us if and when we come to Christ. So then one reference of renewal is what we do. Participating with God by renewing our mind, by focusing on the truth of his love and of his word. And one reference of renewal is what God's Holy Spirit does for us. Here's that second passage. Listen to the Holy Spirit's role in renewal from Titus 3:3 and on. It says, at one time, we too, speaking to Christians, were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us, and here it is, through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Tom, it's truly a glorious hope we have, isn't it? Yes, Jan. Yes, it is. Let's come to God in prayer, letting him apply this message to our lives. Let me ask you, and even we turn it into a prayer to God. God, right now, for all within the sound of my voice, myself included, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you highlight one area that you want us to change our thinking so that you can change our life? What's that area, God? For some of us, it could be how we think about God. It could be how we think about ourselves. It could be how we think about others. It could be a worry you have, an anger you feel. It could be something someone said about you. It could be lies that keep you traveling down the same old mental ruts, even though you wish you could break free. What is it for you? And now, right now, wherever you are, ask God to help you. Because you're not alone in this. Ask him to give you a statement based on God's word that you will memorize and write it and think it and say it and sing it. Ask him to give you the help to push through it, the awkwardness you might feel, that you would push through and you would say it so often, you would repeat it so often that you can have an exit ramp off of your old rut onto the renewed way God's truth wants you to think. Whatever your statement is, I want you to get in your mind right now. And I want you to whisper it to yourself now. Get started now with the renewing of your mind. You can borrow one of mine if you'd like. Some of these I've borrowed from others. My best days begin with God. As I abide in Christ, I will bear fruit, more fruit, lasting fruit, with personal joy. I have all the time I need to do all the things that God has asked of me. My family is a gift and a joy to me. Today, someone's life will be better because I follow Jesus. My work and my studies matter to God. Evil might win for a moment, but it's not going to win forever. Goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Even in times of famine, I'm going to have more than enough as I trust and obey Jesus. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Tom, it really is a glorious hope we have, isn't it? Maybe for some of you, you don't even know God's word well enough to have a statement come to mind, and that's okay. God will meet you right where you are, but he doesn't want to leave you that way. So your decision right now needs to be that you identify the rut that you want out of, that mental rut you want out of, and to ask God to lead you to a promise from his word that will counter your negative mental rut as you open the Bible this week. Or in fact, Google it. You can Google promises of God in the Bible. Whatever you need to do to write down your statement to renew your mind with God's help. Your homework this week is draft your statement and then write it, think it, say it, sing it as much as possible as you renew your mind with God's help. At first, it'll feel awkward, but in the long run, it will be your freedom. If you've never made a decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ, as we just read from the Bible, from the book of Titus, you can be saved not because of the righteous things you've done, but because of God's mercy shown through the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. You can ask him to wash you and give you new birth by the power of his Holy Spirit. You can ask him right now so that you can be justified by his grace and become an heir to the hope of eternal life. In fact, if that's you, would you pray with me? God, right now, I want to enter into a personal, loving relationship with you. I want you to save me, to wash me, to renew me by the power of your Holy Spirit. Apply the grace of Jesus Christ, won on the cross, and through his resurrection to me. Teach me how to know you and follow you and have my mind renewed by the truth of your word today and all the days of my life. I give myself to you, trusting in your goodness and your forgiveness. Help me to follow you all the days of my life and to be part of every good thing you've prepared in advance for me to do and to experience. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer, your very next step is to get baptized. So I want to encourage you to do that. You can, of course, do that here at Christian Assembly. Also, would you just email in, call the church, or let us know, because we want to help celebrate with you. We'll send you a New Believer's New Testament to help you get deeper into God's Word. And for all of us, I want to just say thank you, thank you, thank you for making time to focus in on God's word together with me today. May you experience the renewal of your mind and the goodness of God because of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every victory is yours. next verse.
Power in hand, speaking the Father's plan, sending us out, a light in this broken land.
Let it be, Lord. All authority,
all authority, every victory is yours. All authority,
yes,
every victory is yours.
We sing, our Savior,
Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all our praise. You overcame.
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will
overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Thank you for being with us today. If you made a decision to follow Christ during our service, or you are curious about what that means, email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. And now let me close our time with this benediction from 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. God bless you. See you next week.